Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt the Barbarian.
America, welcome to Epic Episode 117, with a star date of August 25th, 2022 AD. There's a lot going on out there in the news, in the world. So I tell you each week on the radio, we are a world at war. The barbarian is here. Now on this show, we will speak the truth wherever we find it, right, left, or indifferent, rest assured. We're an independent show. We're a nationalist show. We're a pro-America show. For how long that's going to last, it's anyone's guess. But for now, this is where we're at. We will take calls from the audience. After the monologue, always looking forward to those. I am the barbarian of the radio airwaves, General Von Wehhunt, at your service, America. Well, any general in any military, you need to know when to strike and when to keep your powder dry. This is one of those times in history where you want to keep your powder dry. Take advantage, folks, of this lull in the interim period, history of America before the midterm elections. Prepare for any eventuality. There's still jobs out there to be had. There's still money to be made. Grab it. Take it. Seize it. Carpe diem. Grab every nickel you can. You're going to need it in the months and years ahead, believe me. There's a lot of weird and strange economic storms and military storms, I shall say, on the horizon. Well, there's a lot that has been said about our government lately, but always remember this, that a corrupt criminal government anywhere found in the world is nothing but a mirror image of a people who allow it to exist. How about those apples? Well, to me, it's very obvious that the FBI bugged the Trump campaign. That's been pretty much proven, and they've spied on it. Mar-a-Lago now is surely bugged by the FBI or other rogue agencies of the federalities as well. 30 guys show up in Mar-a-Lago with guns drawn, police cars everywhere. Trump attorneys were sent home and pretty much told to shut up and be silent. The FBI raided Melania's closet. And during all of that, the government, in their infinite wisdom, thinks they did a covert operation. Can you not draw as much attention to yourself? Have you seen the videos of that raid? Unbelievable. Squad cars everywhere. Probably SWAT teams around the corner. And Trump wasn't even there. Smart man. Well, the world right now is in a complete mess. There's a lot of weird things out there in the spiritual war that we're facing between good and evil. But the devil, my friends, is not stupid. A lot of people say that they're selling their soul to the devil for this or for that stupid reason. You can't sell something that's not yours to begin with. Your soul is already bought and paid for by the mighty Cristo up in the heavens. Plus, the devil would never pay for anything that most people are willing to give him for free. Don't forget that. He's no fool. Well, I was often told as a kid that the devil roams the earth and God is in the heavens. It's pretty much true. If you look at this earth, see all the war, pestilence, famine, all the negative things that are out there. Sometimes you just got to say, hey, I can't control the world, but I can control my personal world. That's what I say. Focus on your personal economy. Focus on your personal world, your personal house and your weaponry and your defenses and your friends and family, your neighborhood. Focus on that. And if more people did that, well, this country would be a much better place. But some parts of America right now are in recession. And employment is always a lagging indicator. When you look at like Fox Business News or other points of interest on TV. Of course, the Biden regime, they reject all that, and the lapdog media will gloss over his rosy so-called numbers. They're all made up. They're all fiction, all fake. Because the media is trying to tell you that layoffs are a good thing. And that it's, quote, healthy for the economy. Crazy. And people believe that? You believe this. Telling you what they don't want in this country is they do not want critical thinkers, independent thinkers. I said that on the show for years. And now I'm hearing shows on television that are mirroring the same thing. They're using my language, the language of the Von Wiegand Show, word for word. Told you a long time ago that their media directors are listening in, their program directors. They're listening in. They want to hear what you have to say, and they want to listen to what I have to say. I'll say it again. They do not want independent thinkers in this country. They want willing, compliant, shoeless serfs. And peasants that will do whatever the government tells them to do. If they say, put on a mask, they'll put on a mask. If they say, stay in your house and be a shut-in, we're locking you down, they'll gladly do it and they'll lock the door themselves. That is the kind of mentality and population that they want. This is why the FBI and the Justice Department and the Homeland Security morons tell you in suburbia that you're the problem. You're a domestic terrorist. They say this all the time in front of Capitol Hill. I can't count the number of times. They get in front of Congress. The number one threat to America is never millions of unvetted people coming over our border, and they're unvaccinated for those who love that stuff. No, the main terrorist suspects are going to be MAGA people, Trump peoples. It's the suburbia of America with a K. You and me, we're the number one threats to their precious so-called democracy, which they don't even run right to begin with. They run it in the ground. And then they expect you to honor it and not mention it and not notice anything, see. They don't want you to have a mind of your own. They don't want your thoughts to wander about, or they don't want the American population to ask too many questions to get too detail-oriented. They don't want you wandering in middle America and flyover country, God forbid, to think of things like, well, why isn't our border secure? Why isn't our military on the border like most countries? Why are we so special? Why are we so different that our border is wide open on all fronts? They don't want those kind of pestering questions. Makes them uncomfortable in D.C. Makes them nervous. Makes them, in their own weird, warped view of this country, it makes them question your loyalty, my loyalty, and your patriotism. See how the game works? Their template is so far left and so far out of control, out of kilter with this, with the real people of America, the real people. And you know who you are. You may not be the hip and trendy type on every commercial, on every TV show, every sitcom, but you're out there and you're great listeners of this program. And for that, we salute you. But that's really what they're thinking. They're just beside themselves. How dare you have a mind of your own, an opinion of your own that we haven't programmed in your brain to begin with? How dare you? To quote that little Greta biatch. How dare you, America? These people are unhinged in Washington, D.C. While that's going on, Biden is making our own U.S. military defenseless, while everything worthwhile from many military sources, not everything, but that's a pretty close comment, is going to the Ukraine. Whatever happened to America first? We have arms and sniper rifles and all kinds of really good gear, really high-end, cutting-edge weaponry, all going to Ukraine. I'm already hearing from units that say, we had to give this stuff up, and now we are not where we should be in military readiness and preparedness. Strange things going on. Weird orders coming down the pike. Well, the Putin motorcade rushed through the streets of Moscow yesterday, or last night at midnight. The Duma, the ruling body, called in Putin for a very special high-level meeting. I would love to have heard that one. There's a lot of speculation tonight that there could be hostilities this weekend over there and bigger hostilities than what's going on now. Supposedly, the person that blew up that car who detonated a bomb that blew up the daughter of Alexander Dugin, the right-wing theorist in Moscow, is hiding out in Estonia. And the Estonians won't give him up. And he might even be at one of our Air Force bases there. We'll see about that. Also, either the Ukraine military or Russian military have put tons of weaponry in that nuclear reactor. There are sketchy reports from all sides, so I'm not going to say when did it. To me, that's just a big kibosh over there. It's a big goulash of deceit and war and intrigue, and anything is possible at any time. That's going on. There was a good blog from a journalist, an American journalist in Luxembourg this past week, looking out his hotel window at people being repeatedly stabbed in the streets by the mongrel hordes that have taken over Luxembourg. Now, many of you don't know that Luxembourg is a very tiny country in Europe. It used to be called the jewel of Europa for being so beautiful. Now it's a multicultural hell, and that's been a systematic and planned reality for years now. Never forget that the Allies, quote-unquote, won the war in Europe, right? But now they're being invaded just like the USA, and that is their legacy. All those great, brave soldiers fought a war, and they go back home, and their countries are being invaded left and right. Well, as we go forward, be prepared for anything. Always remember on the social and political and economic front of this social war that we find ourselves in, that the Democrats, they want you poor and impoverished. So then you'll be more dependent on them and their government programs to assist you. Or so they say, right? It's the Biden economy and the leftist media. They lecture us daily that America really voted for this, for more layoffs. Well, I told you guys a year ago, we're on the cutting edge. We're way ahead of the curve on this stuff on this show. I told you a year ago, get in position. It's probably the last month or two for you to get in position somewhere. Many of you guys and gals took my advice. You've emailed me and called me up, et cetera, and you're in a pretty good job making pretty good pay, and you're kind of now indispensable to the organization, which I told you to, you know, don't be this type of Democrat worker, that which they call quietly quitting. They're firing those kids left and right. If you're a millennial and you believe in that stupid philosophy called quietly quitting or laying down, they call it in Asia and China, you're going to get found out. You're going to get fired. And you only have yourself to blame. Don't come to me and cry. Don't call the show and cry. You'll have yourself to blame only. Just think. The brave Allied soldiers who fought in Europe and they liberated it. It's now being invaded by the Mongol hordes of Africa, Middle East, everywhere else. And the people there, as in America, are told that you're powerless to stop it. You're powerless, is what they say. It's for your own good, they say. You should have more tolerance, right? For all these millions and millions and millions of new people. Well, where are the sharks in the ocean when you really need them? We're a world of war. Never forget that. It's just a different battle and a different day. Welcome you all to our very powerful, powerful show. So glad you're all here tonight. That's right. Well, as you know, that the Lake Mead has been going down a little bit outside of Las Vegas. More bodies have been found at Lake Mead, Nevada. They're more than likely related to the mob who are very prevalent in Las Vegas and still are to this day. Don't let the corporatism and the family-friendly environment of Las Vegas, if there is one, fool you. They're still there. They just hide in plain sight. The Vegas mafioso says, there are many holes in the desert, kid. And that's true. A lot of people like to learn the hard way. They just don't take a tip and do things the easy way in life. And there's a consequence for those people. And that is that story. But one thing you don't do in Vegas is you don't steal money from the mafia. You may have a problem. You know what I mean? Capiche? Well, another big news tonight. Jerry Epstein's associate, Stephen Hoffenberg, was found dead in his Connecticut apartment, age 77. Dead men tell no tales. Another one down, more shoes to drop, of course. And Chinese troops are being flown to Moscow to take part in military drills there, presumably for the invasion of Taiwan. Well, tonight we were going to have Joe Montaldo of Ancient Aliens. We could not reach him earlier in the day, and we told him to call in but as our VIP guest, but we have not had contact with them for 24 hours. So my rule of thumb is if I don't hear from a VIP guest in 24 hours, that tells me that Joe Montaldo is incognito, probably abducted by aliens, and he'll make a future show. We had him on episode 30, and I had him on twice at KFNX back in the day. We're looking forward to having him in a few weeks was his other date that he could be available, and in early September. So be on the lookout for our fun paranormal show. And some of you maybe, you know, might not know who he is, but I'll say this a little bit here. He's a great guy. We've had him on. He's very knowledgeable. He's in charge of a big organization called ICAR, and he's the leader of it. And basically, he's a UFO expert and a UFO alien and contactee abduction expert. So we're going to get him on here in a few weeks. If he calls in tonight, then we'll have to break and put him on. Oh, he's a very busy guy. He's talking to all kinds of people. He's done 7,000 abduction interviews. Fascinating. There's definitely something out there. But we can't wait to get the latest from him. And you never know. It may lead up to the zombie apocalypse. I love those UFO and alien subjects. I find them very intriguing. So we asked Joe when he does call to use a burner phone and throw it in an alley and watch out for those killer NSA drones and those CIA spies out there to do him harm, and never disclose his location when calling the show. And that goes for all of you, too. When you call the show, you never know if you may be stalked or followed at night. You use a nickname when calling in. We don't need to know your real name. I do want to know your town and state. That's about it. And from there, well, you should be an enigma. Unlike the federal government, we don't need to know everything about you. But the federales think they have a right to know everything. Unbelievable. Yeah, so we're going to get him on the show in a few weeks. That's going to be a fantastic show. The last time we did, the phone lines were burning up, and we could not accommodate all the callers. And I want to get him on for a couple of segments, actually. So I want to have there's so much to that genre, right? I want to get him on to talk about it. I want to have part one and part two. And, you know, it's everything from Area 51, all that infamous space lore, like the secret space program, you know, UFOs over America, the Foo Fighters of World War II, even the UFO program in Hitler's Third Reich during World War II, the secret Nazi base in Antarctica should be fascinating, the moon landing, ancient astronaut theory, Roswell, New Mexico, of course, 1947, President Eisenhower meeting with the aliens, etc. It would be a, well, it's going to be, it's always one of our most infamous shows, and then we get, people call me about it for months, and they talk about it for months, which is great. Well, tonight it's a dark night. It's stormy up in northern Arizona, I hear. I have some contacts up there in Sedona and Flagstaff tonight, and they're my, shall we say, my canary in the coal mine. And they're telling me the incoming weather, if we're going to have any. We've had some dark and stormy nights here in Phoenix in the last couple of weeks. Well, tonight, it's kind of a free-for-all. I want you to, I want to stay on some themes, some topics, so let's not, but we're going to just talk about what's on your mind. I'll bring up some topics. It'll be a free-for-all of thought. We will wonder about things. We're not going to beat the same stories to death like other shows. You turn on some talk shows and they talk about everything, you know, 20 times to Sunday. It's always the same thing over and over again. On my show, we have the levity, the largesse, the ability, and the thought process to talk about many, many interesting subjects. Could be the border of Mexico. I think we beat Liz Cheney in the ground last week when she lost Wyoming. Mar-a-Lago still big in the news in that secret affidavit. Of course, the judge today said he would, let it out, but it's going to be heavily redacted. Probably one or two words will be left after they're done redacting everything. You know, it's the other news, the big news that I'm hearing about in my grapevine, many people have asked me, is about Ukraine, Russia, and NATO. I'm hearing a lot of rumblings over there. A lot of strange things are going on. Weird military deployments. I just got a notice from a really good show that some people are being called up right now. If they're in airborne munitions, they're going to Kiev, allegedly, for the U.S. military. On the way over there. So I think this weekend there could be some big fireworks. I hope not for the sake of the world, but either way. We are a world at war. We're ready to go for the show tonight. We're so glad everyone's here. Strap in. Put the crash helmet on. We're ready to go. We're ready to go, and guess what? While the music was on, we have our VIP guest, Joe Montaldo, making it. And so for that, we are very, very grateful. Well, he's on the line now. We're going to patch him through from the green room here in a moment. Tonight, my friends, you're in for a special treat. We have with us our VIP guest, Joe Montaldo of UFO fame. We will discuss the current space situation up there in the sky tonight. The ancient aliens among us. And that is tonight's theme. We might even get into an infamous space lore, as I told you before, as Area 51, the secret moon and Mars base, the Foo Fighters, the UFO program of many governments, Antarctica, the Vril Society, possibly. In Nazi Germany, the infamous German Bell UFO, many rumors of the American Venus base of the secret space program, ancient astronaut theory, Roswell, New Mexico, you name it, even the new Space Force, the new military service started by President Trump, aliens among us who hide in plain sight, the men in black, cattle mutilations, and our farms and ranches, Skinwalker Ranch, Bigfoot and the Yeti, strange lights over American cities, the presidential book of secrets, and many, many other items of interest. In fact, we may need to break this very important and cosmic interview down into a few subsections. I would like to have Joe here for part one, part two, and part three to get us up to date on what's going on. So without further ado, let's bring on Joe Montaldo of the UFO ICAR network. Joe, are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me okay, Ben?
I can hear you great. Long time no hear. We weren't sure if you were going to make it. I'm so glad you made it.
Yeah,
it's a miracle.
I hit you the other day with a bio or something, and then I was going to write back to you, and I got sidetracked, and I've been fighting with some insurance companies, and you know I got a construction company in the daytime and a radio station at night, so my life gets a little complicated.
Right.
Some days, plus I'm getting ready to go. I'm headed up to Dragon Con. Anybody going to be at Dragon Con? We'll be up there at Dragon Con this coming week. So if y'all are up there over the weekend, come by, see me. I'll be hanging out. Well, I'll be all over the place. I'll be around some of the writers, the future people in the beginning, and then I'll just kind of spread out from there. So, you know, but.
Oh, how
if
cool.
You're ready,
now, like, where's that going to be at?
Atlanta, and it's in, I think it's in seven different hotels and all over downtown. It's huge. Dragon Con is huge. It spreads out.
Okay.
Literally, it spreads out to 7 hotels and the convention center. It's massive.
Which city again? Which city is it in?
Atlanta.
Atlanta, Georgia. Okay, great.
Yeah, it's in Atlanta, Georgia.
That sounds awesome, man.
It's people, you know, getting in Atlanta, it's cheap flights into Atlanta, people. So it's a hub. You can get in there a lot cheaper. You can go hang out and enjoy, and there's going to be a lot of people there, a lot of big people there. I know a bunch of the living dead people are going to be there. They're going to be doing speeches. A lot of there's going to be some different Star Trek people there. Also, some of the old Stargate Atlantis people are going to be there as well. So, and a lot of other people. I even hear Captain Kirk's going to show up. So, plus a whole buku of other people.
Nice.
Almost everybody that has a booth or something like that, it's fairly famous. And then there's just a bunch of other people there because it's Dragon Con, a lot of comic stuff. Just a lot of stuff. A lot of things you can buy, too. So, you know, come on down. Have a lot of fun. Hey, look, it's my first one. I've only known about it. I know a lot of people who go, but I haven't gone. And, you know, like everybody else, everything took a break during COVID. So, but everybody's back.
Right.
I'll also be in Utah Fan Fest. If anybody's up there at Utah Fan Fest, one of those days we're going to go down to Area 51. So come up and see us. And it's,
that'd be cool. Now, will aliens be at this conference?
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
Or do we know?
Dressed up too, like aliens.
That's right.
They'll be green and reptilians. They'd be Klingons and all kind of other shit. I imagine. I mean, from what I hear, a lot of people dress up. So even if they were real aliens, though, you wouldn't know it.
Oh, that's
cool.
They
could walk around. Oh man, look how good that costume is. But
take some photographs and please send some to me. I'd love to see it. I'm sure there are videos on YouTube about that already, or on your website.
And well, we haven't posted nothing yet. We won't post nothing until we get back on the following week, and then we'll post. Because, you know, I was in Los Angeles a few months ago for Writers of the Futures. I go up there and work press for the awards. You know, they have the awards ceremony. They have the whole week. So I go up for the whole week, and I interview all the winners of the writers and illustrators. And then we do the gala and the whole nine yards. It's a lot of fun, and I get to meet all the future writers and illustrators. You know, they're going to be doing the next movies and TV series and things like that. And I met a lot of them.
Oh, cool.
I met some of the great too. You know, I met the writer of Dune, the old Dune, and I met some people who are associated with the old Dune, and the writer of the new Dune. I met him just this past year. It was interesting, and then, you know, there's people there. You know, some of these people have written, have done episodes for, like, what is it? What's the pirate guy? Who is this in court? You know who I'm talking about? What the hell is it? Caribbean, the Caribbean movies. I don't know why it slipped out of my brain. There's just so many famous people. The guy who wrote Ender's Game is there. I mean, these are all judges that you get to spend time with if you win. They flew three people in from Australia last year who won. They flew them up there.
Wow.
Paid from there. Took care of them real well. They had the winners have to pay for their own food and their own tux for them. But other than that, they pay for everything else. And they really get to hang out with the big. You get to meet all the big writers, all the big illustrators, and it's just such a nice thing, man. It really is. But and before anybody asks, no, they don't pay me to talk about them. I went to find out if they were telling me the truth or if they were lying to me. That's why I went. As the reporter side of me, I had to know. You know, they kept telling me, because one of them had a show on my network. So it's one of the Writers of Future shows. And so they kept telling me how everything was blind judged and, you know, this, that, and that. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I'm not believing. I've heard this bullshit from other producers and other publishers. And I went, and it's exactly what they say it is. So I've been quite pleasantly pleased. It's rare when I go somewhere that it's what I was told it was going to be, and that's some sight ahead of the bull. So, you know,
well, tell us about the latest intel and any good abduction stories or UFO stories or things you would. Where this is a huge genre, as I told the audience, and of course you are the you're in charge, of course, the director of the International Community for Alien Research based in New Orleans, otherwise known as ICAR. So maybe start there. Tell the folks a little bit about what you do, and then maybe let's kind of branch out into some of your latest intel.
Okay. Well, we're getting ready to actually add a new organization into ICAR. ICAR is going to become our database organization. We're actually bringing in something that covers a few more genres. But anyway, basically what we do and have been doing for the past 36, 37, 38 years is we track alien abductions. We track people who have alien abductions. If you've ever heard about the blood type study, that's all our research. It doesn't matter what you see on TV. It's all ours. We originally introduced it 15 years ago. We reintroduced it on Ancient Aliens 8 years ago, and then 2 years after that, we introduced it yet again on Ancient Aliens. And then I heard Linda Moult Howard running around saying it was hers, which, by the way, she's in the episode where I'm introducing it the second time, which is hilariously funny. But these kind of things, we learn a lot. You know, like if you're Rh negative, green or blue-eyed, the odds of you being a contactee increase greatly. Even
wow.
though the majority of people on the planet are Rh positive and brown eyed, that's the majority. That's like 80. It's as far as blood type, it's 85. As far as the color type, it's 80. So you know, 80% of the world has brown eyes, and 85% of the world has Rh negative blood. But the other 15% have green eyes and blue eyes and other colored eyes and Rh negative blood. And we realized when we started doing abduction research, when we started taking applications and having people fill out forms and documents for us, different programs we were running, one of the things we asked was what your blood type was. And it was amazing when we seen the data. It was just amazing. So then we realized we had something else, another criteria for alien abduction. We realized that for some reason, this mysterious blood type that just showed up 45,000 years ago out of the blue. So understand this, ladies and gentlemen. Before 45,000 years ago, everyone on this planet was Rh positive and brown-eyed, brown-skinned, brown-haired. That's what we were, the most boring species to ever exist. And then for some reason, and nobody knows why because no scientists today can explain it, and no one can understand why Mother Nature would make a baby killer, it popped. Rh negative came out of nowhere. And the next thing we knew, we were having stillborn babies by the tons because – Rh positive, Rh negative people, when they would have children, a lot of times a child was stillborn because the Rh positive thinks the Rh negative is attacking it, so it attacks back. So they have a shot for it called the antidenogen D gene, if I'm saying it correctly. So now you get a shot if you're Rh negative. But before 25 years ago, you used to have to get blood tested in the United States to get married to make sure you were compatible. Because if you were Rh negative and you were Rh positive, you were not compatible. Figure that out, ladies and gentlemen. You were not compatible with yet another human on this planet. How can that even possibly be? If we come from the same source of blood and we're all from the same place, how can that be that somebody is not compatible with somebody else? And then there's another thing. Rh negative people do not have the rhesus monkey gene and Rh positive people do. So there's another difference right there. Why is that? Why is O negative
right.
a universal donor? So people always tell me, you know,
right.
AB negative and AB positive is the RAS form of blood. That's true. It's 1.5% of each one. But they can take O negative. But O negative can only take O negative. So technically, it's the RAS form of blood on the planet. It's only 7% of the world's planet's population, and they can only take their blood. They can give it to anybody else on the planet. But they can only take their own blood. They can't take anybody else's, which is crazy. This is just some weird freak thing that popped into us. And then we find out that Rh negative, especially O negative, is the purest form of blood known to man. It's where all of our hematological research comes from. So who did this? Did God do this? Did ET do this? Did Mother Nature do this? Why did this even come to be? And why do the aliens have such a frickin' interest in it? What is it that
right.
they're so interested in? You know, I mean, they're kind of like, well, you know, people, this is how this is. Well, no, that's not how it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's different than we all been led to believe. There's something there. There's some reason that's there. Now, we launched a study, a telepathy study, to see if on average, Rh negative people are have more telepathic abilities than Rh positive, or it's just sheer more of them Rh negative. So we don't know yet. Before anybody asks, because for some reason I stuttered on that, but before you ask, we won't know probably for a few more years. The preliminary will come out spring of next year, but that's going to be probably maybe 5,000 cases, maybe 10 if we're really lucky. And but that's nowhere near what a blood type study is. A blood type study has reached more than 90,000 people have taken this study. More than 90,000. There's 90,000 in the study itself. I mean, in the organization itself, and then there's another 36, I think, on the website. So it's around 122 or something, 116. That's a lot of people. That's a big survey. And for the majority of them, 66 to 68% of the people who responded or with an abductee contactee responded were Rh negative. It's insane. And the best part about that is once we started releasing this, several other organizations did studies and found the exact same thing. There was only one that didn't, by the way. I'm not going to mention its name. And I found out something. They said it was Rh positive. Okay, that's fine. It's always some counter research. And then I found out that everybody on their boards was Rh positive. So then I was like, it sounds fishy to me. I said, I'm not believing it now. I said, I think somebody's BSing us. Because there was 40 different organizations that did this, and they all came up with Rh negative except for this one. And a lot of them people were not Rh negative. A lot of people working for us are Rh positive. So it's a strange thing. What does it mean? I'll tell you what it does mean. It helps me find abductees and contactees, which helps me find more evidence and more information about what's really going on. But people, if you're listening, I don't want you to think if you're Rh positive or brown eyed that you're not being abducted, because yes, they take you too. They take whoever was part of the original experiments from 100,000 or a million years ago, whenever it started. Most people think they really intervened somewhere around 100,000 years ago when the human race created the slave, when the human aliens created the slave race that the reptilians interbred with that created the race that's here today. It gets complicated. We could get into it deep. I mean, that's a whole show in itself, but it's basically what went down. Now, could it be one of these aliens that introduced Rh negative to us? Could have been the Greys? Could have been the reptilians? You know, in case you all notice, ladies and gentlemen, every human today. So if you go back to the Sumerian story of the seven creations of man, the slave creation was like us. They looked like us, smaller in size, but they looked like us. But they weren't, like, intuitive like we were, or they weren't inquisitive like we are. And they never asked, well, why do I have to plant a field? Why do I have to procreate? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? They never asked anything. In other words, they weren't a whiny, bitchy human like the ones today. Once the reptilian interbred with the population, they did ask, and they didn't want to do it anymore. They became an intelligent race that no longer wanted to be a slave race and rebelled, and that's what created the races that are here today. Until later on, when the Greys introduced their DNA into the group, it was just the reptilians, us, the reptilians, humans, and whatever they originally created, whatever the original stock came from, whatever monkey or animal or whatever thing it was that they used to originally create the first race of man, that's what it was. And it's strange to watch it all, but the Sumerians write about it in great detail. So did the Egyptians and so did the Dogon. We don't want to take it to
right.
history, but they did.
Do you think, that the Democrats in America are the alien slave race? I mean, watching politics today is really crazy. You see people on these videos, right, on TikTok and YouTube, Joe, and they look almost alien. They're just bizarre-looking people that, you know, get mad at the slightest provocation. I'm not sure if they're reptilian or what. But what are your thoughts on these YouTube, TikTok videos that come up with these strange characters?
Well, some of them are just manipulated things. I've seen quite a few of them over the years where they've manipulated.
True.
TikTok has gotten really bad about it. But you never know what you're looking at. I mean, I've seen some good stuff came out of some 40s, 50s, and 60s government photographs, black and white photographs that were taken of different groups of politicians. And from time to time, you'd see, like, there was this one couple that you've seen in over four decades. They never aged. They wore different clothes, but they never aged.
Right.
It was the same couple. You can clearly see it. But they never aged, which suggests they were probably some type of extraterrestrial that was, you know, hanging out with the rest of them. But for the most part, most of the aliens the three aliens that abduct on this planet can't readily just walk amongst us. They look too different. Even the human aliens, they're on average seven and a half, some of them 8 feet tall, running 300 to 500 pounds. I mean, they're proportioned, but they're big. I mean, and they have six fingers, six toes. I mean, they would have been the giants of old if they were walking around in biblical times, because they would have been double the average human size back then was, what, 5'3". They're 8 foot. That's a big, that's a giant. That's what that is. So it's kind of hard to, you know, but that particular race, that human alien race, its head's like much deeper. So if you look at it front on, it looks just like a human, except you can tell it's bigger, it's bulkier, it has more digits.
Gotcha.
But when you look at it has two eyes, two nose, a mouth, just like we do. Facial structure, ear structure, and teeth structure are pretty much the same as ours. But their head is, I don't know, 9 inches deeper than ours, maybe a foot deeper. It depends on which alien it is, but I'd say anywhere from 8 inches to 9 inches deeper. So if you reach back and touch the back of your head, you'd be like, okay, well, to reach back and touch theirs, your hand would have to go back another 10 inches. And then you would be touching their head.
I'm so glad you're here tonight because there's so many questions I wanted to ask you. What's your take on the secret space program and the new Space Force that Trump started?
Well,
I believe that we already have bases on Mars, and I did a lot of research myself on the secret space program, and I find it very fascinating, very intriguing, where these military airmen or Army or Marine Corps guys will say they had to, sign their life away with about, 1,000 pages of documents. They go for a 20-year tour at the Mars base. A lot of people who come forward talking about that. What are your thoughts, sir?
Well, most of the time, see, what bothers me when you say people come forward talking about it, I'll tell you something I know from personal information. I have a Class 10 security clearance, so, and I've known several people that worked at Los Alamos, and some other bases we're not going to mention on the air, but tell you this. Generally, when you come off a mission like that, not just that kind of mission, there's other type of missions that are what we call long, deep missions, and that not even talking about aliens, some are just other things. They generally wipe your memory when you come back. They set you up with a new life, or if you have children or wife and they're still waiting for you, which some of them do, they give you a false thing where you've been for the last 20 years. Sometimes it's a coma. Sometimes it's, you're on just detail here, or you were there, wherever. They'll give you the whole set of memories to go with it. It's like they just program it. But generally, they just wipe the memory of any consequential stuff that you may have seen while you were at the bases. Because most of these deep kind of things are places that you can't risk someone slipping up if they come home. Because if the wrong people look at it, then that can be trouble. Because you got to remember, all the black government works outside of the U.S. government. It's not actually part of our government. It's a bunch of admirals and colonels and generals and captains and big businessmen over the years who are no longer part of that part of the world, but now they've created their own deep black government. And even though they have funding from inside the government, government has no control over what they do, none whatsoever. God, they pro us is all I can tell you, because if they weren't, we'd all be in a world of shit. They're the ones, you've seen some of the DARPA stuff that's been out and about, very advanced, but that's not even NEO to get. The Black Triangles have been around since, the TRs have been around since, I think, 79 or 80. And there have been rumors that Russia and the United States left in 78 actually and flew the first TR-3 to Mars and set up a colony. And then there's been lots of rumors since then of different things that were going on there. But you know what's funny about it? It's not so much eyewitnesses that you catch. It's like manifest logs and transportation logs and things where things are being shipped and they actually have the destinations on them and who's ordering them and where they're coming from. That's the kind of shit that's interesting, because like Pine Gap in Australia, Pine Gap is a joint British defense of outer space. It's a spy place that spies on the whole world. But it's actually really for the defense of outer space. That was the original assignment. Well, after they announced that, they said they closed 5 years later, and everybody was like, wow, they just shut it down. Well, because of manifest we found on the internet, we found that no, they were still open and working and up to their normal everyday business. So we released it and busted them. And so that's the kind of stuff that some of this stuff is just, put it this way, if our enemies or even some of our allies found that we really had a base on Mars, they would be pissed. I mean, they'd be pissed enough that they might want to go to war over it. This is big technology that we'd be keeping secret, things that could be changing the world. Not just that. Our own citizens would be pissed, because this is technology that could change our lives. The energy systems they use to travel with are not like gasoline or diesel or rocket engines. That's not the stuff they use. They use stuff that they have generators that create way more power than anything we're using currently. And they have systems that work off of magnetic and gravity drives pulling and pushing. It's a whole different thing. Things that you could incorporate and have flying cars today if you wanted to. So this is stuff that could leap our population 200-400 years ahead. So they can't risk it getting out. So generally, they just wipe their memories. There are a few people, higher ranking people, that usually, you know. So in other words, if you're like one of the guys working there, or if you're below, say, a colonel, or like a captain of the Navy kind of thing, you're probably getting your memory wiped. And even some of the colonels and captains are probably getting wiped as well. The only ones who are probably not are the generals or the politicians who are there, which, because there are some politicians. But other than that, you know, and I know a lot of people swear Barry Arturo was brought into being there. Got him ready to be president of the United States.
Right.
Barack Obama, if y'all know what I'm talking about. I don't know, people. I wasn't there. I can't tell y'all. I'd like to know if that was true or not. And, of course, there's a lot of stuff about Mars. If you want to listen to Andrea Visaggio and Alfred Weber, Alfred Lamont Weber.
Yes, I'm aware of him. Mm-hmm.
They talk about a lot of conspiracy stuff. So remember, ladies and gentlemen, take all of that with a grain of salt and listen to the things that may actually pan out to be. For me, it's different. I got lots of friends in lots of places, you know, that track a lot of different things. I still have friends in the military. By the way, I was going to say that before I went off on this tantrum. I met two of the generals from Space Command, one last year, one the year before. I met them at the gala for Right Into the Future, matter of fact. Well, I didn't know this, but the people I hang out with, Amelia and sorry, guys. John, I just talked to him a little while ago, John Goodwin.
No problem.
President of Galaxy Press. Yeah. They're space cadets. They're part of the program.
Okay.
So if you're a civilian and you've got a little off and you're helping out or to get the word out or to help get things out or to use, stuff like that, they'll make you an honorary space cadet. So because of that,
were
at the gales, and I got to meet both of them. Well, the guy this year, him and I had a nice talk. We talked for an hour, hour and a half, and I told him who I was, what I did, told him what my clearances were in case something slipped out. He didn't have to worry about it because Class 10 is like, it's like 10 levels or 20 levels above top secret. It's ridiculous. And people always think when they hear that, they're like, oh, my God, what kind of secrets does Joe know? Well, I do know secrets. I'm not going to lie to you. But not the kind of secrets people always think. They're always thinking of it as this big, dark conspiracy. I used to work on very sensitive ship aboard an aircraft carrier. I worked on all the electronics and the conning tower and the reactor room aboard the ships and on the weapons. So, yeah, I didn't get an average. Even the only people that have clearances like that of me are the people that were doing what I were doing or like the captain and the first officer. Nobody else has those kind of clearances. Because, you know, I was in places where I seen everything that made that carrier sensitive and made it the beast that it is, I had access to. So, you know, they want to make sure you're trustworthy. And I got to tell you, when I got home, the first time I came home for leaving the Navy after being in tech school a while, man, my friends and family were like, what the hell did you do, man? The FBI was at my house. I'm like, what are you talking about? The FBI went to 150 of my friends and family and did background check overs. 150. That's like, wow. That's when I realized what kind of clearance I actually had. And then I realized later on when I was talking with politicians and different military people over the years, when I was asked a question about alien stuff or UFOs, they didn't mind telling me because I'm still bound by my clearance. If it's secret, I can't. I'm still bound. So I can tell you all this. I know a lot more than I can talk about on the radio. And even
understand, right. So we'll talk one-on-one, too, one of these days.
Oh, yeah. Conference stuff, we slip a little bit more out because it's less likely, but generally, when we do a lot of stuff, it's usually in tight groups where we run sound dampening systems so nobody can listen in and stuff like that. Yeah, it's a little paranoid, but we've caught. I'm in the middle of a hypnosis session, right? And we had some people in there talking action stuff and doing this hypnosis. And for some reason, we got these little things we plug in the wall. I kept blinking. I'm like, what the hell? I said, who's trying to listen to us? I asked one of the girls to open the curtain. And I seen this white van with black tinted windows. And it looked like there was something white in the guy's hand pointed at us. So stupid me, first thing I do is I bring the girl out of hypnosis, stop the session, go to her office, get my 9mm out, put it in my side, walk across the street and on the window. And he didn't want to roll it down, so I knocked him the metal part. And I said, boy, don't put that down. I want to see what that is. I said, well, you window down. So he rolls the window down. And sure enough, he's got a white dish about 10 inches across. 10 inches round. I said, well, who are you listening to, dude? He said, why? I said, dude, you were pointing right at my office. Who the fuck are you listening to? Ooh, sorry. Beep, beep, beep. Sorry about that, guys. But that's what I told him. I was hot, you know, because I knew they were listening to us or trying to listen to us. And he said, well, it didn't matter. You got static dampeners on anyway, so we couldn't really hear anything. We just kept getting static. I said, why are you so interested in us? And the guy who owned the building, who was a friend of ours, who was also a researcher from MUFON at the time, he was called Orb Master, owned the building. So I'm like, he was there too. He said, well, what are you doing? Focusing on my building. He said, you got a warrant? He said, who the hell are you? He said, Dan, the agent, we want to see some ID. You know, they're like, we want to see some ID, man, because we want to see a warrant, we want to see some ID. And they just looked at us, rolled up the window, put it in drive, and drove off. Now, of course, we did get the license number, and my stepfather was a state trooper at the time, actually retired, so I had him run it, and it came back as did not exist.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah. So
I have a question for you.
Yes.
To interject here, Bigfoot, you know, in the Pacific Northwest of America, and they have Yeti, of course, over in the China region, but is Bigfoot an interdimensional being, Joe? That's what the latest theorists say, that he comes and goes through portals, and that's why Bigfoot is seen, and then he escapes and cannot be captured after all this time. What are your thoughts on that?
I can tell you this. He can't be captured because we ate one down in the bayou and at the Florida, Alabama, I mean at the Louisiana, Texas state line. There are more Bigfoot seen in that area than anywhere else in the country, anywhere else in the world for that matter. That's where most of the Bigfoot hunters live now. Yeah, it's the Sabine River Basin is what it is. It's ideal. It's just deep. It's part of the Atchafalaya Basin. It's just deep, monstrous swamp that runs on for endless times. If you don't know your way around, you get lost, and you may never get the hell out of there. And it's
so Bigfoot's in the swamps of your state?
Yeah, they call them
Louisiana?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I heard he was in there, but never to that level. Okay, well, that's a new one.
Yeah, they're all over the place. So, but you know,
have you ever seen one yourself?
I told you we just ate one, man. It's delicious. Coon asses, dude.
I thought you said that.
If you can shoot it, eat it, man. It just went down just to you.
Really?
No, we've heard. So I'll tell you what.
I thought you were joking about that.
No, I am.
Oh, you're serious?
We don't eat. I was just teasing. But we were in a Honey Island swamp, and there's a thing called a Honey Island swamp monster there. So we were deep in the swamp. It was at 16 of us, if I remember right. And we're all just walking along. We're towing two boats, eight on one bank, eight on the other bank, and we're towing a boat as we're walking. And we're walking back to this old haunted plantation where we would spend the night so we could get up and go hog hunting in the morning. This is a group of us. And, you heard this pop. I'm like, what the hell was that? And then you heard it again. You could hear something big was following us. And it was big, whatever it was, because it was breaking big branches so you could hear it. And then you heard it going to the water, and then it came across the water and came on the side of the shore we were on. So you heard it. It was getting closer. Then you could actually hear it breathing, and you knew it was something big. So it darted around us, whatever it was, moved pretty quick, and it came back around the front. I still remember a friend of mine, turned on his cue beam when he did, everybody else did, and thank God it wasn't a person. It's unleashed. I mean, we were all carrying guns, shotguns, rifles.
Sure.
It was just a blast away, which was stupid because it would have been Bigfoot. It would have been nice to actually maybe see if he was something nice. So anyway, we shot away. The guys come across the other side of the bayou. They get on the other side. They start opening fire. So, I mean, literally, you now have 16 people unloading a massive amount of ammo. Nothing
right.
To be found anywhere. Nothing. Not a spot, not a drop of blood, not nothing. So, and we've seen it. I mean, everybody's seen it. It was no doubt what you saw when the cubing came on, because it was no more than 8 feet in front of us. There was no way anybody missed. You're not missing at 8 feet with a 12-gauge. It's just not going to happen. Now, to end this story in a weird way, we found no blood, and we tried to track it. I mean, we're all pretty good hunters. Even though I don't hunt anymore, we were all seasoned vets. I mean, all of us knew what we were doing. We couldn't find any footprints. We couldn't find any blood. We couldn't find anything. Couldn't even find any broken branches from that point forward. I could backtrack where it came. You could see where it broke branches and stuff like that, but you couldn't see anything where it might have left in a different direction. And as many bullets that were 5 years, thought it would have been a blood trail. So anyway, it's around lunchtime. We're pulling the boats out of the water. We're at the boat launch, and the game warden pulls in. And he said, hey, did any of y'all shoot a bear last night? So there was about an 8.5-foot black bear riddled full of bullets, just riddled full of bullets. And I think it was
wow.
a bear. Now, I've seen lots of bears in the swamp, and I've never shot mm-hmm. in the swamp unless they got too close to me. So I still have a hard time reconciling that was a bear. And it bothers me because, you know, being the damage done to the bear, I would swear it was us. But when you've seen this bear, there was no doubt there would have been meat and hair and blood all over the effing place. And there wasn't. There was nothing.
Hmm. Wow.
We even went back the next day.
That's strange.
Daylight, just to make sure we didn't miss anything. So I'm not sure what happened. Was it a bear and did it go through a portal somewhere? Was it a Bigfoot that was there and sacrificed a bear? Was somebody else shot up a damn bear somewhere else in the swamp? Which is possible. I mean, a lot of people aren't hunting in the swamp. So, well, you know, people who don't know where I ran. It's spooky. It's weird. So, I wish I could tell you exactly what it was, man. You know, part of me wants to say we had some kind of paranormal experience, and part of me says we're a bunch of dumbasses inside a bear. So I just don't know where to go on it. But at least I'm honest.
Yeah, exactly. I got a question for you, Joe. Yeah, President Eisenhower, did he meet with the aliens? I believe he did, in my own estimation, and he signed a treaty with them. There's been many eyewitnesses that have come forward. That have come forward from the U.S. Air Force over the years and testified to that pretty much, not in the court of law, but, you know, in various books and shows. Yeah. What's your take on the Eisenhower meeting in California with the Greys?
Yeah, Eisenhower did meet the Greys, and the Greys did not sign a treaty with them. Greys feel no need to sign any treaties with humans. None of the aliens do. We're not advanced enough to sign a treaty with. We're a joke. So mm-hmm. let me explain this. If you're a human alien, you're looking at us. Human aliens are funny. They think of most humans as just distant trash cousins, with an exception of a few. For some reason, they take a liking to a few humans. Like, I don't know why they just do. The reptilians, on the other hand, think of us as kindred spirits, just dumb, unevolved, backwards people, because to them, we're just backwards. I mean, this is an advanced race that's mostly an Aquarian race. That's what people don't even understand about the reptilians. They're mostly an Aquarian species, except for the warrior caste. They're really an Aquarian species that believes in one God. So, you know, but we're murderous, immature morons that believe anything we're told. And they just look at us as dangerous. The Greys don't even think of us like that. The Greys consider us to be like pets at best. They do not consider us equals in any shape, form, or fashion. And they're not going to for probably several hundred thousand to maybe even a million. This is a race that's probably close to a billion years old or maybe even older. There's just no common ground between us and them. You know, they're not here
right.
to use us to make them better. They're there to use them to make us better. So that maybe one day in 1,000 or 5,000 or 10,000 years, we might be able to join the galactic group. They won't even let us have light speed because we're too dangerous. You can't even be part of the
right.
galactic community until you're a united world. And last I checked, we were 200 countries. We're nowhere near ready to be united. So, I mean, there's so many things that have to happen for us to reach that. The Greys and them are here running a lot of different experiments. They want to watch what they created. So remember, they take credit for our creation up to now. So once the reptilians intervened and brought that sentience into the species, the aliens had to start taking credit for taking us. And then once the council realized what the Greys and humans were doing, the reptilians and humans were doing on Earth, they sent the Greys. The Greys are like the galactic police force, for a better way of explaining it. People always own a little 3-foot Greys. Well, first off, that little 3-foot Grey can grab a 300-pound man and drag him around like he's a potato sack. I mean, and normally, when we first got into this, we always thought that the Greys worked for the reptilians and the humans. Man, were we dumbasses.
Right.
If a Grey walks into a ship, it doesn't matter what size, 3 foot, 5 foot, 6 foot, 7 foot, 9 foot, it doesn't matter what size that Grey is. If he walks into a reptilian or a human ship or they walk into one of theirs, the human and reptilian will always bow its head in respect and usually take a step away from the Grey. Like how scared they are. This is a race that, think of it, if you took the reptilian brain and the human's brain and our brains, you took all three of our brains and combined them, it still would not be the size of that Grey's brain.
I mean,
their abilities are far beyond anything. I mean, they have organic technology. They grow their ships. Their ships are alive. Their ships produce their own food, which is a blue plasma, which also the grays can absorb through their skin and eat as food themselves. That's why sometimes grays tend to be different colors, even though we know they come in a blue, brown, and white. The gray is when the food starts to retract from one of the aliens. It leaves them translucent, which makes them look kind of gray. But that's not actually a color. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's seen a real what we consider a gray would know their real color. So that's another abduction criteria. They're a blue that I just could not. There's not a blue on our planet that is the same color that they are. It's a weird, shimmering, electric. It's hard to explain. Unless you've seen one, it's just hard to explain. But they're not. When we see a gray, that's the basic shape of them, except they have real eyes. The black things are just eye gear. So it's like really advanced glasses of some kind. I think wherever they come from, their sun's not as bright as ours. And judging from the way their limbs are shaped, they look like they're all cartilage and no bone. They're probably from a planet like Mars where the gravity's a lot different. And allow their limbs to grow out so they can reach up and pull themselves instead of jumping and stuff like that. Yeah, and you know, their patches can see a lot of different things, but it also protects their eyes from the radiation on our planet, you know, from our sun, which they're not used to.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of uses for them besides that. They can see a lot of things. That grays are just a very advanced species that work for the council, and that's what they do. They make sure everybody behaves themselves. It must have been a really nasty war at one time that eventually got settled. They created this galactic group to say, look, no more of this shit. This is not going to happen anymore. We're going to straighten this out once and for all. We're not going to allow this to go on anymore. And the light beam's not even supposed to be from our galaxy. It's supposed to be from a different
one. Yeah, because there is a galactic federation, right? There is one out there in the cosmos. And wasn't Valiant Thor a member of the Galactic Federation?
Well, the Valiant Thor thing's interesting. That's what I was telling you earlier about the couple, the blonde-haired couple. They're both blondes, by the way.
Right.
One's got long blonde hair, and they're both blue-eyed, by the way, which I find odd. Some people do call them Valiant Thor. Nobody exactly knows who they are, but at least five different sources said they were aliens. But not – they're probably more like a hybrid than – so some there was a group out there that says the Greys did it, but there's a group of hybrids out there. And they're not all humans either. They're just hybrids of different things. And for some reason, they were trying to cut a deal with us for protection. I think they wanted to come live on our planet. Kind of reminds me of one of the Men in Black movies, actually. It sounded like they want to come live on our stay here for protection, or maybe even to hide out, you know, from whatever was going on, wherever they came from. Because you did see them for four decades, and then they were gone. And I mean, in all fairness, there is so much video and pictures now, I don't know if you could catch them. Before, you know, black and white, they kind of stood out in the black and white pictures for some reason. They almost looked colored in the black and white picture, like it was some kind of color to them. It was strange looking. But I haven't seen any pictures. I want to say the last one I've seen was like 1980. So I haven't seen anything. So that's, 42 years ago. There hasn't been any pictures since then. And they might have just left. They might have went home. Maybe they went to go live with the tall whites out at Area 53. But they don't go on the way of Dodenberg, whatever it is.
Are aliens, Joe, are they responsible for all the cattle mutilations in our farm and ranch lands here in the United States,
you know,
and around the world?
I'm glad
it's like a worldwide global phenomenon.
No. I'm going to get you straight on this. I'm glad you brought that up because I'm actually submitting something to Carlson Tucker show, because he's going to be doing this. So let me ask you something. Why do you think aliens would come mutilate a cow and put it back?
Okay, well, they say they want their gland that they have an appetite for glandular secretions, I heard, and they're using that for some kind of weird genetic experiment, supposedly. That's, of course, the folklore
out
there.
But why would they put the cow back? Why wouldn't they just take the cow and drop it off?
I don't know.
Instead of cleanup?
That's the mystery.
I got another.
What's causing that? Around the world.
Wait. We're going to get that. We're going to get to that. So first off, it's not all around the world. But first off, when you look at a cattle mutilation, first you have to look at the places where they happen. You do know there's no cattle mutilations east of the Mississippi River in our country. doesn't happen. Yeah. There's really none in South America. Those have been debunked. So what? First of, let me. Did you know that all the cows that have been mutilated are insured? Did you know that?
They're did insured. Not know that.
Yes. So and
interesting.
90% of them are taken from big ranchers where it wouldn't hurt them if something happened. Parts that are taken is where radiation would show up the fastest. Also, the areas where these mutilations happen are near areas where the United States government did underground nuclear testing for 5 decades. So if you didn't want the people to know that you were checking for contamination, what would be the easiest way? To check the animal population that's eating and drinking the local vegetation and water. These are free-range cows. These are not penned-up cows. These are cows that are out of the big 40s that are being taken. And the reason nobody really bitched about it is because as long as you've got the corpse, you can collect the insurance.
Right.
So I don't think ET thinks about that kind of shit at all. Uncle Sam does.
Mm-hmm.
And more so than that, most of what you've seen where the cattle were left, there were sled marks next to them, and there were lots of black silent helicopters seen near lots of the cattle mutilations. Now, the problem is people like Linda Moulton Howe originally came up with the alien thing, and once they said it, they had to stick to it. But no one took the time to really look into it like I did. I went and met the ranchers. I talked to a lot of people. I asked the guy, I said, is your cow insured? He said, yeah, it's insured. He said, they've taken 4 of my cows so far, and my insurance company's paid for every one of them. He said, as long as I got the body, that's all they're interested in. And he's, because, you know, they don't know what's doing it, but the cow did, and they got to pay for it. It's a $5,000 cow, so they got to pay for it. And so I said, have any of y'all seen aliens? Anybody? Has anybody seen? I could not find one rancher that had even seen a UFO. But a lot of them told me they saw a black helicopter. And then Linda Moulton Howe tells me one night, she goes, well, they couldn't suck the blood out that fast. I said, baby, we've had vacuum pumps since the 50s that can drain a cow in less than 2 minutes. I said, we've had field lathes since 63. I said, you need to educate yourself before you go out and spout BS. And that's the thing with being having a bachelor's in science. I actually check stuff out before I go talk about it. So we went down, we talked to it, we checked on this stuff in Brazil, where they were supposed to be having these cattle mutilations because it's a big cattle place. And, man, when we first found them, we're like, man, some of these cattle are getting mutilated. Maybe this will change our theory. You know, maybe there's no radiation around here. Well, guess what we found? So the guy down there, you didn't have to have the corpse to collect the money. So some general down there had bought, I don't know, like 10,000 head of cattle, and they stuffed like 500 cattle in each one of these big water towers spread around the country and said they went missing. And collected insurance on them. And then some guy and his girlfriend went to go skinny dip into one of the tanks, and there was a bunch of dead cows in it. So that was immediately busted. I can't find any real cattle mutilations in Europe at all, or Asia for that matter. So I just haven't been able to find them. I mean, I hear a lot of stuff, but when I go track it down, there's nothing.
Mm-hmm. I bet you do.
For me, I got a lot of people. Yeah, well, I got a lot of people, too, that work with me these days. And even in the past, I mean, sometimes if I'll get on air, I'll say, hey, look, I'm looking at this, and this. I'll have 35, 50 people in a week call me and say, hey, look, I found this, I found that. Or I'll get 100, 150 emails saying, hey, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. And I usually send that over to a friend of mine, let her go through it, and then she sends back what's good. So it's a process. But so for me, for cattle mutilations, I really think it's just Uncle Sam's way of checking on the contaminants in the area, because, matter of fact, where the majority of them happened were less than 50 miles from where we tested a nuclear weapon.
Interesting.
No more than 100 miles away.
So the federal government is the culprit again.
surprise, right?
But
think about it, Ron, it's a way for them to keep their hands clean. They can look at this and see whether or not they should take action, you know, before it becomes a national disaster for them. And said it's aliens. So they're not going to challenge it. Did the government ever tell you? No, yes, aliens. Sure, yeah. You go, that's aliens, man. Go on with that shit. It was aliens. They would never argue that fact. It's like when people say, UFOs, you're the government. They're going to contradict a UFO. It's a good cover-up for them. Not saying that all UFOs are government, but, you know, still it's a good cover-up from them. I mean, the F-17, the S-117 Blackbird, for a decade was being called the UFO. It was flying. And this is, I'll tell you all the secret, ladies and gentlemen, how you can bust the government and help find out if something is alien or not. So there are no-fly zones across the United States, okay? There's some in California, there's some in Arizona, there's some in New Mexico, there's some in Colorado, there's some in Louisiana. But anyway, there's a thing called airport monitoring. You can go by. It tracks all air travel in the United States, whether it's classified, military, if it's flying, it's tracking it. So when they're military, they'll say it's military going here, here, here. But if it's classified, it'll just say classified or it won't say anything. There'll be no responder on it at all. It won't give you a destination or anything, but it will show you the actual flight. So if you go camp out near no-fly zone and you see something come across no-fly zone, especially like a black triangle, you know it's ours. ET don't care if it's a no-fly zone or not. They fly wherever the hell they want.
Okay, so the black triangles, those are called the T3s, right? They are ours. From our government.
They got the TR-3Bs, the TR-3Bs. There's a couple of different versions of the triangle now. There's a couple of versions of the Aurora now, too. I think all together, last I heard, there was like 14 or 15 different versions of these craft. But they're fast. I mean, they were clocked outside of Pensacola at Mach 12.5 inside the atmosphere. That's just booking.
Right.
The only thing I know that went that fast out of the atmosphere was a space shuttle. I think it came at like Mach,
right.
Mach 26, Mach 35. That's flying. I mean, people, what is it, 750 miles an hour per Mach? That's just cruising.
Wow.
Mach 10 is 7,500 miles an hour. People, Mach 20 is 5,000 miles an hour.
Imagine.
Crazy.
Hey, what's your take on the Foo Fighters going back in retro history into World War II? The Foo Fighters that were seen over Germany, were those from the Third Reich?
Well, I love the Foo Fighters for one reason. One, they can't be debunked. Two, every Air Force in the Allies and the Axis saw them. Everyone. They would challenge U.S. bombers. They would challenge U.S. fighters. They would challenge German bombers, German fighters, Japanese bombers, Japanese fighters. They were seen by Navy ships from all four of the major navies. These things were just seen everywhere. And what makes it so interesting is, see, today you could say it was a drone, all right? But not back then. We're talking the 40s. These were big, some of them were big green bulbs that would just come hover over the plane, go underneath the plane, do loop-de-loops around the plane, then back and forth in five different directions, stop, tax the plane, then just disappear. And what makes it great is because the Germans thought it was the Americans. The Americans thought it was the Japanese. The Japanese thought it was the Brits, but it was none of us. There was no human flying any of this stuff. And it is one of the purest forms of a UFO known and out of all the cases because no one could identify it. Everybody gave identical descriptions. All four militaries, actually, I think it was seven militaries. I'm looking at it, I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
All of them gave identical descriptions of what it looked like and how it behaved. And obviously, at any time, it could have took down any of those bombers and fighters, and it didn't. But it went to every one of the major militaries. So that's why it was. I mean, the Germans really thought it was us, and we really thought it was the Japanese, and the Japanese thought it was somebody else, and the Brits thought it was the Germans. I mean, everybody thought it was somebody else, but to date,
And there's a lot of information and a lot of conjecture that the Third Reich had a UFO program with the Bell, you know, and the secret Nazi base in Antarctica, allegedly. What's your take on the Third Reich in World War II and
the
SS? I know they ran the German UFO program and the V-2 and V-1 rockets in Peenemünde.
Well, what it was is somewhere around the turn of the 1900s. Before Hitler was around, this is 30 years before Hitler, Germany was the most advanced country on the planet by far. I mean, they were 50, 100 years. They're like we are to the rest of the world. That's how much more advanced they were.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were an alien going to talk to somebody, that's who you would stop and talk to. So somewhere along it looks like, no one can prove this. Americans, this will lead into a couple things actually. So no one could actually prove it. It looks like that the Germans were given a saucer to try to backward engineer. So if you pay attention, from 1910 to 1913, the Germans built seven prototypes of UFOs, what we consider a saucer. Two of them, by the way, were tanks. They were just circular tanks. They looked like a disc, though. They had other stuff that looked like discs. And then the war starts, and a lot of that research is put on the back burner. So that all goes on in the World War I. Here comes Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler's like, we're still advanced. Why are we so advanced? Hitler gets all these programs running, gets all this stuff going on. Probably he turns around and builds two types of saucers. Neither one which ever could fly. Now, the two saucers he built were jet-powered, by the way. We know that because the United States recovered one of them. But, and I can't prove this, I have heard it from several big people in different places, but it looks like the U.S. recovered the salsa that was originally given to the Germans in 1900.
We
recovered it after the war. We found it. That's what crashed at Roswell, by the way. So we recovered this salsa, brought it back to America, tried to backwards engineer it, tried to do everything we could with it. The Grays came and visited because it was their salsa, and they were like, how'd y'all get this? Who gave y'all this? Because the Grays weren't the ones who gave it. The humans gave it to the and I'll tell you about that in a few minutes, but the humans gave it to the Germans. The Grays are like, well, look, if you can fly it, you can keep it. How's that? Well, obviously, we couldn't fly it. We crashed it, so.
Right.
So this is what went on. So, and people don't realize this. There was actually two crash sites at Roswell. There was one in Corona, and there was one at Roswell. And this is why this is so important. There is no way a ship that's built across interstellar space is going to break up on impact, because they're flying at speeds, light speeds are greater. And little micrometeorites, if it was something that would break up on impact, would just shred to pieces in space.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen, which means they have some kind of either shielding or some type of it's made out of something that's not going to break. So long story short, they found some Grays at Mac Brazel's ranch and a bunch of debris spread across the field. Sounds like the Grays took an escape pod. The escape pod came down in a bad way. Broke up, killed a couple of them. One or two of them survived. They took them all back, picked up all the pieces. 2 days later, two Boy Scouts and a Scoutmaster ran across a spaceship, looked like a saucer, sitting on top of a ridge in Corona. It had hit the ground, impacted, and slid in. There was no damage to the outside of the ship whatsoever. They found four bodies that looked human-like, but they were kind of melted, pink-looking, and they were highly contaminated with radiation. Bad part of the story is the Boy Scouts and the master died in a car wreck 2 days after this. An 18-wheeler pushed them off the side of a bridge. Could have been an accident. I'm not saying what it was. It's awful, suspicious, mm-hmm. all I can say. So it looks
wow.
like the crash at Roswell was actually us. And there's a lot of evidence. Now, I get in trouble for these things because ufology hates when I rewrite stuff. And I have rewritten several things because I actually do research and just don't believe what everybody freaking tells me.
Right.
I go check it out for myself. I want the truth. I'm in this for the truth. I'm not in this for people's ego. I'm not even in this for my ego. I'm in it for the truth. And sometimes, I've rewritten, like the Betty and Barney Hill case, I've rewritten it because they were wrong. And instead of getting mad and realizing we've got 40 years more of data since Betty and Barney Hill, so we understand more of what was going on, people want to get mad because it's their way of making money. That's why they don't like me changing the cases. It's not the fact if I'm right or wrong. It takes their money away from them because their whole career is based on, her career is based on cattle mutilations. She don't want to talk about this plan that the government mm-hmm. might be doing it. Oh, my God, no, she don't want to hear that. Or any of the other big ufologists, Stan Freeman and I used to always argue about Roswell. Because I told him, I believe it crashed. I said, I just think we were flying it. I said, I think the Grays were there. And I think the Grays realized, oh, we screwed up. We should have never gotten this damn ship with these people. And I think the humans blew it. I said, the Grays tried to get out and save themselves.
Oh, you think the humans were piloting it and made it crash?
Oh, yeah.
Not the Grays.
Yeah, I think the Grays were trying to show us. I think they were trying to show us how to do this because they generally drive the ship right through telepathy is how the Grays generally drive their craft. They actually become part of it. They can kind of meld with them. They have these slots they get into, and it's weird. Like it almost melds with them, and everything to them. There's no screens or anything like that. Everything's in their damn heads. All the other ships, you talk about all the other races, I call them flip and click races like we are. There's buttons or things like that. There is a lot of telepathy involved in even those races, but still there's still physical buttons and physical screens and stuff like that. Whereas with the Grays, mm-hmm. there's none of that. When you walk into a room in a Gray ship, it's blank. It's nothing. And when you say light, it illuminates and however you want it. But there's no light fixtures anywhere. It just illuminates. Anything you think of you want comes from the wall and is created by the ship. So, like when they're doing experiments on people, the instruments actually come out of the wall and go to where the Gray is. The table actually bubbles out of the floor and becomes this clear table. And it's we've learned a lot over the years about them because we've got a lot of people who have been taken. But still,
interesting.
I would say if the
there was also the German Roswell in 1936 where the UFO crashed in Bavaria, And the Germans under Hitler actually, they re-engineered that. And a lot of people say that's that plus everything else, the real society and others over there. They had the, of course, the big rocketry program, you know, at Peenemünde with the V-1 and V-2 rockets. Hitler had quite the leg up all over the Allies on UFO technology. And that's why at the end of the war, there was a mad dash to grab the German scientists and tech people, you know, and sort of shuttle them back to the United States and the Western nations.
But that UFO you talked about is probably the same one we had here. It's probably the same one that was given to them in 1900.
Okay.
Probably the same. You know, they were probably trying to fly the damn thing too and figure out how to do it. The problem for us is the great technology is not button click. If we'd have got like a reptilian ship or a human ship, we could have probably backward engineered at least some of it. But the Roswell ship is just not that. There's nothing for us to backwards engineer. It's grown. So all the things we can learn is how to grow it. There's nothing else to learn. And of course, we don't have that kind of technology yet. But, you know, we have learned things. We did learn things from the escape pod, though. We got aircraft aluminum from the escape pod. We got the microchip from the escape pod. And we got light fiber, or what do you call it? It's a little plastic fibers that light up. Anyway, that's the three technologies we got. We know that because the Roswell newspaper, 3 days after the wreck, when they were looking at some of the debris they found, one of the images looked just like a microchip you'd see in a computer today. A little bit smaller, but still basically the same thing. A lot of them looked just like aircraft aluminum, even acted like aircraft aluminum. And the other was fiber optics. It was definitely some type of fiber optics. Stuff that is not advanced stuff anymore, but was advanced just 10, 20 years ago. Fiber optics was seriously advanced for us. It was a whole new way of transmitting information. And it probably took us 50 years backwards from Roswell. But we got those from Roswell. We just, the ship itself, and now that no graves are going, it won't even respond to humans. It's like, you know, it's like your dog trying to talk to your cat. I mean, they don't have nothing in common. They don't want to talk about it. So the ship's not interested. It's
right.
Just sitting there. And it just sits there now. And, you know, we can't figure out, because there's nothing in, like, you can't go cut into it and find wires or something. There's nothing like that. It has, like, you know, veins and stuff like that, and it moves stuff through its skin and stuff. It's just not, we just don't even know what to do with it. We don't understand what it is, and the Germans did, nobody did. The Germans probably did the same thing we did, is look at the lesser technology. Like if there was a, you know, like we know there was a skate pod. There might have been more than one. There may have even been, like, a shuttle on board or something, a small craft for going in and out of the atmosphere. Those won't be built like a deep space craft would be. You know, they only got to go from the ground to the ship and back. They don't got to go traveling through space at, you know, light speeds and stuff. So that, they could have maybe got some technology. But the problem, even with any of that, even for the Germans, this stuff was just too far beyond us. That's why the Germans went back.
It was. It really was. Tell us the wildest, in the last segment here, tell us the wildest alien abduction story that you've ever heard. You've got like 7,000 plus interviews at ICAR. What's a really good one for the radio that you can tell us? Now, I will say these are probably confidential, but you can hide the names, of course, and tell us just what you can.
Yeah, we won't mention any names, but let's start off with this. Now, people tell me all the time they can stop alien abduction, so it cracks me up. So this story right here. This is a woman. She was a very Christian woman. I know her personally. So she was being taken, and they were getting ready to do some experiments, and she was, you know, repeating Christ and this, that, and the other thing. So the Grays took her eyes out, turned around and faced her so she could see her eyes being missing with her own eyes, and said, "Now have your God put them back in." So they can be vindictive. They can be vicious if they want to be. I guess she was getting on their nerves, or got on their last nerve, and they decided to teach her a lesson. Not exactly sure what that was about. Then, now, this one's kind of long, so we'll kind of make it kind of quick, but so there's one that was in Gulf Breeze, Florida. Actually, it was in what they would call the Bar Beach. So this couple went down there with the babies, went to go spend 14 days, right? So they get down there, the first day they meet the people from Untold Mysteries, Unsolved Mysteries. They were staying at the same hotel. And they talked for a couple of days, but they weren't down there. They're both researchers, by the way, but neither one of them were down there for research. They were actually going on vacation. So they stayed at that hotel. They went to another hotel. So So the third night there, they went. There was a big gathering of a bunch of UFO people on the fishing pier in Pensacola. So they went over there. And on that night, they seen a green light coming through the water. It crossed under a couple of bridges, went past the train trestle, and then came out of the water and hovered there. There was a silver disc with gold balls. They said it looked like molten gold just dripping off of it. They said it just sat there. And I know there was three film crews there that were filming. As far as I know, they didn't get anything, but there were three film crews there, including Untold Mysteries and some other big group was there. 400 witnesses, the mayor was there, the police chief was there, there's a lot of people there. And everybody seen it. It was crazy. Nothing came out. It was just crazy. So the next night, the couple checked in to this hotel where they were planning on staying 7 or 8 days. And I think they said we were staying there 10 days. But so they check in, and they're out on the beach that night, and we're just throwing scooping crabs, right? And I remember him telling me that a dolphin came in and hit his wife a couple of times, like trying to push her out the water, pushing her close to shore. She said, I thought that was weird. First, that was really weird that his wife was even in waist-deep water because she hates the water anyway. And then they were sitting on the beach with their son talked, and when they seen this couple, not like a boy or girl, it was just two guys at the end of a pier. And so they seen this couple, and there was this green thing bobbing up and down in the water. It looked like somebody took one of them glow sticks and threw it out in the water. So they were watching it as it was getting close, and it looked solid. You know, it looked like it was like something solid. Well, all of a sudden, you see these two guys turn around and haul ass. I mean, it cleared the whole pier. Whatever this was, cleared. It's a big pier with a lot of people. So they were the first ones to start running. Everybody ran off this pier. So then the couple stood up, and later on in the hypnosis, they found out that they were taken that night. They were gone for 11 days. So it was easy to prove. It wasn't even hard to prove because the hotel has them checking in at the checkout and then going into the hotel room and not coming out for 11 days. And that's when he went to go pay him again to stay for another 3 days. He had no idea he'd be gone. There was no credit card expenses. All the cash they had on was still there. The car had the same exact miles on it. It hadn't been moved. According to the hotel, the car had moved since it was parked there.
And they always say they have that issue of missing time, and their memories when wiped clean.
Today it's a little different than it was back in the day. Missing time was a big thing, and in this case it was a huge thing. I mean, 11 days is a long time. So,
right.
You know, under regression, we found out a lot of things. First off, we found out that the guy struggled, that it was also military and the aliens right at the same time. They said it took four guys to drag this guy down. And then they drug him out in the water, and they went into some light, and then the whole bunch of them disappeared. And then the couple remembers they were standing in this room, which looked like a military base of some sort, swinging doors, stuff like that. But there was a gray standing in the hallway, and they looked off to the right, and there was a room, glass room. They had about 40 or 50 people in it, and they seen the two guys they had seen on the pier in there. They recognized the flannel shirts, both with their heads down. They were all walking around in a circle like zombies, just walking around the circle.
Wow.
I don't wear anything. I walked over and rapped on the glass. Nobody even looked up. I was like, okay. And then all of a sudden, this gray comes over, grabs my wife's drags in this room. I'm freaking out. Well, I shouldn't say I am, but I get into this, unfortunately, too much. But they drag him in there. So they get him in this room. There's a silver disc thing. It's got all the equipment for, like stirrups and stuff like that for women to have an exam. So there's eight women in these chairs, by the way. And they strap her in, put down, you know, do the whole 9 yards, strap her legs in the whole yards. And then this red-haired guy comes in. Now, this red-haired guy is weird because he shows up in a lot of different UFO stuff. He never looks exactly the same. He's some type of, maybe he's a man in black, maybe he's a hybrid. I don't know what the hell he is. But for some reason, some people say he's darker ginger, lighter ginger. Everybody says he's always really, really tall, and his eyes are weird, and it's always the same description. So I asked the guy what he remembered, and he said the same thing. It's just, it's almost like you're not supposed to remember it. And he comes and he does this exam, and the grays come in, and they do their thing where they put it to head, and they close the memory out and plant a false memory, at least for that section. And then, you know, they move on. Well, they remembered. The grays decided for some reason that they took four women and put them back in the room with the others, and they took the woman we're talking about and these other three and took them into another room where they implanted them with a, well, I guess the only way to say it is an ovary. I mean, not ovary, but an egg. a fertilized egg, where they carried them for 3 months and then they were taken 3 months later. Now, all this can be corroborated because it's all been done in hypnosis, and they're all different people. None of them knew each other. Under hypnosis, they remembered each other from the room, but they never knew each other before this and have never been even in the same towns as each other. It's a very strange thing. But it's just the way it worked out is we got lucky and found out who these people were. Thank God that, you know, some people on ships actually talk to each other instead of just freak out all the time. You know, but still.
Exactly. That's wild. Jeez.
So
can you imagine? The stories that are on TV and radio about these alien abductions are just, there's been a plethora of these shows lately.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought of you. I said, we got to get Joe Montello back on the show and get some updates. I would love to have you back on the show again in a month or so, with, you know, per your schedule, of course.
No. I'm going to be in Atlanta for a week, and I'm going to be in Utah for a week. And then I'm home after that for 2 weeks, and then I got to fly up to New York. We're working on a documentary. Matter of fact, doing hypnosis on an abduction, by the way. It's out of Buffalo. And then after that, I think I'm free. But I'll have time in there because you're on a Thursday.
Nice.
So usually I might hear Thursday. I'm usually in the studio on Thursdays because The Outer Realm's on, which is our second biggest show on the network. That's Michelle DeRocher and Amelia Pisano. Michelle is very famous. She's been on television many, many times. She's Canada's most haunted is what she is. And Amelia is the one who's missing people and missing kids and stuff like that. But they have a show called The Outer Realm. It's really good. And they do Everybody Who's Anybody, a great guest. But I'm usually here for that because, you know, Thursday night we have our shows. And so I'm usually sitting here, and they end at 10. You come on at 10:30, so it works out really well. So, yeah, just hit me up.
Perfect.
Day, you know, give me about a week's notice. And I can do it. And even if I'm on location, if I'm in a hotel, I'll do it from a hotel. I've done many, many interviews from hotels. As long as I got a good phone, I'm good for it. But I know you got to get, because I know you still got stuff to talk about. Yes, people, I'm a radio show host. I can't help myself.
Well, Joe Montaldo, it's more than awesome having you on the show tonight. I could talk for hours with you about this stuff. I love it. It's been a real pleasure with you coming on the Von Wien Show tonight, sir. And what are your final thoughts and comments to the cosmos, to America, and to the Galactic Federation tonight, and to everyone listening to this show all over the world and America? Floor is yours.
Do your research, people. Do your homework. One of my favorite sayings is do your own homework. Don't be liking people who watch politics and then go out and say a bunch of crazy stuff without doing any research. Do your homework. There's a lot of stuff in the ufology field that is, how can I say this politely, garbage. So check it out. And don't be scared to ask other research. You can call me or you can write me anytime. Vaughn knows how to get a hold of me. Or you can write me at icarcox.net, whatever. But people, check out what people are saying. And then remember, always look for alternative answers. If you want to be a good researcher, try to debunk it. And when you can't debunk it anymore, you know you got something. And then you call me for sure.
I love that. Joe Montaldo, folks, from ICAR, UFO researcher, world famous. So glad to have you on the show tonight. We'll talk again soon,
fine,
sir. Have a wonderful night.
All right. Thank
you
again,
so
man.
Much. Thank you, Joe. Wow. I could talk for 3 or 4 more hours with Joe Montaldo about this stuff because I love this genre. It's very interesting what's going on in the universe, in the cosmos, and everything else. Well, we will get into some calls here after this short break. Get your adult beverage, strap in, and we will talk to you soon.
The planet you will travel to is known as Earth. we got word that a civilian has been killed in your neck of the woods.
Direfleet!
The person appears to have been vaporized.
We come from Uranus.
You're disgusting!
We come from Uranus.
Dude, just say Mars.
We were transporting a prisoner back to the prison planet when it escaped. We need your help to find it.
He's a creature of unspeakable evil. He feasts on human flesh and won't rest until the entire world is destroyed.
It looks like the Easter Bunny was trying to send us a message, but he was interrupted.
Then we must fly to Easter Island and rescue the Easter Bunny before it's too late.
Did you hear that? We must stop them!
Get away from here!
Wow. Joe Montaldo was on the our show tonight. He's been on the hit TV show Ancient Aliens. And for some of you who were just tuning in, he was the director and is the director currently of the International Community for Alien Research based in New Orleans, Louisiana. Joe Montaldo has been an investigator and a top researcher of UFOs and the paranormal activity in America and the world for the past 20 plus years. Joe Montaldo is the founder and national director of ICAR. And they have 7,000 plus alien abduction cases on file. Joe Montaldo is the owner of Paranormal Radio and the host of Wake Up USA, a UFO talk show. He's also a board member, many of you don't know, representing contactees of Dr. Michael Salas Exopolitics Institute. And you can learn more about our VIP guests if you go to ParanormalRadioNetwork.com. One of our sister stations or brother stations here in the universe and cosmos. Pretty cool stuff.
We come from way out past Alpha Centauri, and as we're here on planet Earth observing your ways, we're listening to the Von Weehunt Show. It's on the Internet Radio Galaxy.
Yes, yes, it is. And, yeah, the Germans were superior in their IQ per the – looking at some of the chats here. I agree with Lincoln that the Germans were superior. They had the highest IQ in Europe at the time. They had superior education, great culture. You were the top scientists of Europe. And I think they were smart enough, if they got a hold of any UFO, to reverse engineer it and make themselves even smarter and stronger. Well, with that, let's get to Gunslinger. I promised him first up on deck, if he's still there and awake, in the great state of Texas. Are you there, sir?
Yes, can you hear me?
I gotcha. Well, what do you think of Joe Montaldo tonight and our VIP guest?
Well, I'm going, wow. You know, there are things out there that we don't understand and we're not privy to. There's no doubt about that. Okay. I mean, you look up there and you think that we're just alone up here. I don't think so. I mean, it's too logical to say that those things don't exist. I mean, when you have really no proof, but you know, we've heard this, you know, the alien abductions and all this good stuff, but I got a good story for a possible Bigfoot sighting. It actually happened to me. Okay, this was in the early 90s. And I went up on a buddy of mine. He's a pilot, a private pilot. And he was going up there somewhere up there for a meeting because he was a physical therapist for the VA. And it was one of my road trips. And we were going through some highway going up to Arkansas. Okay, and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. Okay, we just went down this highway. Kind of, it was moonlit, broken clouds, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I had to take a whiz, so I said, hey, you know, pull over. He was driving. I said, pull over to the side of the highway here. Nobody on this freaking highway. You could look down, you could look up. Not a freaking soul on this highway, okay? So I could walk back to the back of the car, and, you know, and I'm facing down parallel of the highway to see if there was any cars coming over the hill or anything. And there was nothing, so I started doing the business and everything. And all, and you know how the, when you pull off the side of the road, especially in Arkansas, you have the edge of the pavement, and about 6 foot, you have the fence and forest. That's it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, the I've been through there before. Uh huh. I know what you mean. And it's yeah. pitch black. They don't believe in buying street lights in Arkansas. Yeah. It's pitch black as far as the eye can see. Just you and the moon.
Way out there. Yeah, it was way out there in the middle of Nowheresville. Well, anyway,
yep.
I, out of my peripheral vision, I heard something, but it was quiet as a mouse. I mean, you could hear a pin drop. Okay, I heard something, or I seen something out of my peripheral vision to my left, and I turned, and I seen this thing standing there, and I had to look up to see. And it looked like two glowing eyes. I screamed bloody murder. I hit the
wow.
back of that car. My door was already open. I didn't shut the door when I got out. I said, "Oh, my God, Bob, look at that." And he spun around and looked at that. I jumped in, shut the door, locked the gate, and we peeled. And I said, "Did you see that?" He said, "Damn right, I seen it." That was, like I said, early.
Really?
In the early.
How tall was it?
Yeah. From where I was standing to the fence, how tall?
How
I'm five.
How tall was
I'm
it?
Five, nine. I'm 5'9", yeah. So when I looked, I could probably see the. It looked like his chest, okay, and it was like reddish hair. So I had to look up. So the thing had to be over 6 feet. I'd say between 6 feet and
wow.
maybe you. Okay, because I had to look up, you know, to see what the hell it was, okay. And I'm
right.
going, oh, I didn't have no gun. I didn't have nothing. I would never forget.
Need a few shots to drink after seeing that, man.
Yeah, I think I did. I'd never forget that.
Yeah, you better stop at the local bar, take a few shots, and relax after that one. My God, that's wild.
Absolutely. I mean. That's crazy. I mean, to see something like that, and like I said, it was just quiet as a you could hear a toothpick snap. Okay, and then
I've driven through Arkansas before. I know what you mean. Pitch black for miles.
Pitch black for miles, except the moon, and there were broken clouds, coming back and over.
Yep.
And see this six feet. It was just 6 feet from where I was standing to the fence. And you see this thing, like, and there was no wind. There was nothing. The wind wasn't blowing, nothing like that. And I'm going, I mean, I froze for a second, and then I screamed bloody murder. I mean, I'll never
don't blame you.
It, like it happened yesterday.
Get the F out of there.
We hauled ass, let me tell you. And I'm going, wow. But on other things like
damn.
That, I think we do have. I think we do have free energy from Area 51. I think that it had other, extra help, if you want to put it that way. You know what I mean? To get all this stuff. Cause
sure.
I understand electricity. See, I'm a master electrician, electrical engineer. So, something, they're hiding free energy devices. It's probably based on Tesla. Most of it was based on Tesla. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So,
interesting. Have you ever seen a UFO? Gunslinger, have you ever seen a UFO?
I probably, years ago, I seen something that was at my former house over there. I went out there at night. It was over in the east part of the sky. And this thing was just sitting there, okay? And it looked like it had some type of lights or something on it. And I told my parents to come out there. My mom and dad said, "Look at this thing." I mean, you can see it between the houses over there. And all of a sudden, it went gone. So I went in there and I called the local airport. Okay, then I talked
mm-hmm.
to the tower. At a certain time, did you have any radar back in this certain area of your coverage area? He said, "No, we didn't have anything." Now you see it. Now you don't. Explain
that's
that
wild,
why.
Man.
There's things
jeez.
That can't explain. You know what I mean? Crazy.
That is wild. So, crazy. Wow. Bigfoot sighting in Arkansas. Well, as you know, I was just up there in Oregon and Northern California for up there looking at the future home of Valhalla Studios and met some contacts out there. I love the Redwood Forest, by the way, and the mountains, and love that scene up there. Now, they have Bigfoot statues at a lot of the gas stations, which is really cool, and they have, like, signs, watch out for Bigfoot. And the locals are, they're pretty serious. They go, oh, no, Bigfoot lives up here. It's not a joke. This is a Bigfoot area. That means we've had, if you see the sign on the highway, the locals told me that means it's a designated Bigfoot habitat, which means to get the sign, the lady told me they had to get like 100 sightings that were reported to get the highway sign. And so who knows? But that's Bigfoot territory up there big time. From what they told me, I have heard the swamps of Louisiana and Arkansas and Tennessee and Missouri and the Ozarks and even in the Midwest. These big, and even on the East Coast, like in the Carolinas, West Virginia area, Bigfoot sightings are all over the nation. It's pretty amazing.
Well, there's also, they made a movie. It was the Legend of Boggy Creek. That happened in Arkansas, right?
That's right. That's right. I remember that movie. Yep, that's right.
Remember the movie? I had a couple of aunt and uncle that lived up there, and this, God Almighty, it was in that swamp area, and I mean, they had like 200 acres up there, but then we had to travel like 20 miles out of town just to get to their house, an old cabin, okay? And you could sit up there and look at thick trees and wondering what the hell, you know. So that was based on
right.
Supposed to be based on a true story, you know, Legend of Boggy Creek.
Exactly.
So,
wow.
You know, who knows?
Well, hey, who knows what lurks out to there, man? Only the shadow knows, I always say on the radio. Only the shadow knows, Gunslinger, what's really going on, you know? They're in Missouri too, Lincoln said. They definitely are.
Yep.
Lincoln says they have a place called Call of the Wild that claims to have a stuffed taxidermied Bigfoot there in Missouri. I'd like to see that one of these days. Interesting stuff, Ben.
It is.
Wow.
No doubt. Wow.
Well, Gunslinger, thanks so much. Have a great night for calling the show, and I love your story about Bigfoot, man. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, fantastic.
Appreciate that.
All right, later.
Have a great night, Gunslinger, folks. We also want to thank Contra Radio. Want to give out a little shout out to them. They've got the Von Weehunt show on. Here's one of their promos, which is pretty cool.
From the DMZ to the NATO front, this is CRN.
That's CRN.best, their website for Contra Radio, which goes all over the world, of course, and the Von Weehunt show is also on that show as well. In the chat room, Lincoln has said that the taxidermy Bigfoot's in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. I've heard of Poplar Bluff. Hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Let's get Brett the Surfer on. It's been a little while, but before I do, we've got to get a little promo for Brett, and he is done surfing Mexico, I guess. He's back our way, which is good. So we'll get him on here in a second. We'll be right back. yeah, let's get Brett the Surfer on. A little bit of surf music there for him. How you doing, Brett?
Hey, Vaughn, how are you, man?
Hey, doing good, doing good. Give you a little intro there.
Yeah.
Long time no hear, man. I saw you call the show a few times. We've had a lot of calls the last several weeks, and tonight I knew that Joe Montaldo would eat up about 45 minutes of the show, and I wanted to give him a large chunk of time. He and I could talk for hours with all of his intel, man. Guy's fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
But what are your thoughts tonight about the UFO conspiracy, secret space program, gunslingers meeting with Bigfoot in Arkansas? I mean, we ran the whole gamut tonight from World War II to Antarctica to the moon landing and the grays.
I think that that everybody has their own experiences, and you know, I've my cousins had experiences with UFOs and sightings, things like that. I've never personally myself, but I would not, you know, being out in the ocean and on the beach and knowing how vast the universe is and the different galaxies that we have, you know, it wouldn't surprise me, you know, to have that different people have had experiences like that. Maybe one day I will, you know, but I haven't as of yet.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could use their help with what's going on now, you know, with all the strife and all the troubles we have. Maybe an intervention of a superior power might is something that would be welcomed, you know, especially to prevent a nuclear exchange. But, you know, is that
really
to be seen? It could be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, that would be my.
I agree, man.
I hope maybe.
Well, see, I don't. My theory is that the aliens are not that there's like. Well, I will back up. The CIA came out a few years ago. It was a leaked document, Brett, and they said there were 10 alien races that they've categorized in the Milky Way galaxy. Put it that way, or that 10 are the there's 10 types to visit Earth a lot. Put it that way. And they said that 8 out of 10 per our own CIA are not benevolent. They are not trying to help us. And that's my version too. I think the vast majority of these alien races are not benevolent to us. They're not here to help us. If 20% are cool, that leaves 80% that want to do us in and take over the planet. What do you think?
That's a scary, you know, statistic. you know,
that's why I bring it up.
I don't know. You know, it could be, you know, it's to be found out. You know, until, but you know, with all the things that are going on, you know, you wonder: is there an evil force that's out there?
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the news and the stuff that's out there, you know, is not the most positive. So. But I think good will prevail eventually, no matter what. Maybe,
yes, I hope
you know,
so.
It'll be some kind of fight. Maybe it'll be a fight, you know, and it probably will be where it's just good versus evil. But my feeling of me being a person of hope and faith, I think we will prevail, you know, in the long run. So. And I think that's what most of you
believe. We must prevail. Yes.
You know, we must.
I agree.
It's not a choice, you know. So,
that's right.
But, you know,
we either prevail
so
or die, or die trying.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So, we have to win this.
I think we have enough good people and good spirits around us that we will prevail, you know. So, and that's the only way you can live life. You know, you can't live life as a total cynic, you know. Bad things are going to happen and good things are going to happen. And it's just, you know, realize that life, that's the way life is. It's a, that's the richness of life and the beauty of life, you know. You know, and I think that's, and I've said this many times, and you have as well, live today as if it's your last, you know, because we never know. But I'm a person that believes I'm going to have many more days, so,
we're both healthy as a horse, man.
Exactly.
You're very healthy. You're very active. So am I. I've got that German Italian blood thing. I'm like, you know, feeling great every day. You got to keep your health up, folks. And health is the number one thing that's the most important over money, over power, over position. It's your health. Without that, you got nothing.
It is.
Number one thing. You got to keep, you know, drink, you know, food and drink is great, but do it in moderation. Do a little more exercise, a little less sugar, and you'll be better off, you know?
That's right, man. That's wise words.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Really cool having Joe on. We're going to have him on again. He talks very fast, which he's very fascinating, and he's got so much information to impart to us. He's just a wealth of information. So I can't wait to have him on again. We will talk some more. So you've never had were you? I think you were in Phoenix when we had the Phoenix Lights, not once, but twice. Now let me tell you my quick story. I missed the Phoenix Lights when they came on. Both times I was sleeping. I swear to God. My phone was ringing off the hook, and I thought, oh, those damn telemarketers, they won't leave me alone. It was a rough week. I remember crashing early. I must have had 20 phone calls. You got to get outside. You got to go to downtown Phoenix, man. The lights are here. The mothership. Did you see all that?
I didn't see it.
Were you down there?
I didn't see it live. I saw it after the fact. I think I was out of town when that was happening.
We had two Phoenix Lights here. We had the one I believe was in 1996 or something, and then we had the one after that. It's like they came back. It could be a government program. Government PSYOP, could be a government plane that they were testing over people to gauge reaction. Who knows? But allegedly, the first time the ship was going right down I-17, because people were driving down I-17, and you know how you drive, and they saw a shadow go over their car.
Wow.
And they look up. Yeah, it's like the story goes, the kids go, Daddy, Daddy, look up. And the guy sees light. You know, it was just about to get dark, but that weird 30 minutes of time where it's kind of like dusk, and this guy saw a mothership quiet go right over I-17 towards Phoenix. Massive ship.
Wow.
He said, but quiet. Heard that from a lot of people.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, I wish I had seen that.
Strange. It would have been something to see. I mean, there have been some different stories about what it actually was, but nobody really knows, you know. So there are a lot of mysteries out there, but, things that we just don't know about, you know, and one of these days they'll be disclosed, you know. But
yes,
until then,
be.
You know, we just have to – you know, hope that the 80% that are evildoers or want to cause harm don't do anything, you know. I don't know. Who knows?
That's
everything that is going on in the world, the strife, you know, if those aren't alien entities anyway that are –
Well, see, that's my theory. Some of the strife and war is being caused by the reptilians or by the space entities that are hostile to the human race. But, Brad, we'll talk more about this for sure, man. Have a wonderful night. And I thank
all
you
right,
for calling the Von Wehunt Show, man. Always a pleasure.
All right, man. Have a good one, brother.
Hey, you too, brother. Thanks. Breath of Surfer, folks. Wow, what a power-packed show we had for you tonight. We had our VIP guest, Joe Montaldo, and it was a real pleasure having him on the show. He does believe in the Galactic Federation, and he says they are a real body, a real entity. We talked a lot about the alien presence, the secret space program earlier in the show, the Foo Fighters of World War II, Antarctica, UFOs in the Third Reich, alien races and beings in the Greys, Area 51, and Roswell. Just a fascinating show. The galaxy is big, and anything can be out there as a life form. It would be the height of our arrogance if we thought we were the only people in the entire billion light year cosmos. I believe that the universe is teeming with much, much life. And I believe they know that we're here, and they have confirmation of us, but we don't have confirmation of them yet. But they know that we're here. They've been coming to Earth for thousands of years. You could see it in all the ancient writings, the hieroglyphs on the caves, the Egyptian tombs and pyramids, all the ancient stories and folklore and mythology. In my view, many of them were based on what they call ancient astronaut theory. These are things that have been handed down that we thought were just fables and legends, little cute stories for bedtime. Now, I think a lot of these things were based in fact, and the early man, our ancestors only had certain words to use. They would call it Chariot of the Gods, the book by Eric Von Daniken. And they used the word horses or chariots, things like that, or birds that came down from the heavens. And they might have been UFOs all along. Well, on this show, we will strive to find the truth, and we'll have Joe back on again. We thank you all for being here. I broadcast from my mountain stronghold every Thursday night. The show is in high demand all over the world. We are broadcasting to the nation, to our military bases all over the world. We salute you all of our great callers tonight and on every show. Love you all, and we will be back next Thursday night at the normal time. It's the Imperial March, the Galactic Federation, and the secret space program all wrapped into one. There's many mysteries of life, and we will try to find the truth wherever it leads us. Thank you very much, folks. We're glad you're here, and good night.